in der Serie Meister. Grüß mich nachher auf Toshin Pei Base, Rob David Stroh.
Am Pombeitei. Good Chodesh, everyone. It's a pleasure again to be here. I've been here for a long time. I'm going to say a few things about Parshas Matis Masei. The parasha starts off, well, at the beginning of the parasha of Matis, we've got the Milchemes Midyon. Klal Yisrael go to Milchemes Midyon, and it says in the Pesukim, they send Elef Lamata, 1,000 for each Shevet. Each Shevet sent 1,000 people, and the people different Medrashim, exactly how many people were sent from each tribe. And according to one Medrash, because it says the word Elef 3 times in the Pesukim, therefore they sent 3,000 people from 3,000 from each Shevet. Each Shevet sent 3,000. Why was it necessary to send 3,000 from each Shevet? Says the Medrash, there was 1,000 who actually went to battle, actually fought, 1,000 soldiers. There were another 1,000 who would guard all the Kalim, stand in the Machne, and guard everything which the people were bringing along, all the weapons, etc. And there was another 1,000 who were brought along in order to daven, to be mispalel for the soldiers. So the question is, first of all, why is it necessary to have one person davening for every single soldier who's going? Isn't it enough to have a few people, like by Milchemes Amalek, only Moshe Rabbeinu says it was davening? Why is it necessary to have that there was one person for each of the Lochemim? Each of the soldiers had one person davening for him, because it was Shoveh the Shoveh, 1,000 each. And a more important question is, why did they have to actually go to the battle in order to daven? Why couldn't they stay home, stay where they are, be comfortable, cozy in the Beis HaMedrash, in their houses, daven from there? Why did they have to be on the battlefield in order to daven for the soldiers who are going to battle? Those are two questions. So one simple answer that the Mefarshim say, very important Yesod in Tefillah, is that in order to be mispalel with true kavana and to really, really put your mind to your tefillah, you have to see what's going on, and then you feel the need for it. Like it says by Hilchos Bikur Cholim, it says a person's going to visit a chole, should daven for the chole whilst he's there, whilst he's in front of the chole, should be mispalel for him. Obviously, don't make the chole scared, but we should daven for him whilst he's by the chole, because whilst he's by the chole, he can feel the pain of the chayla, he can really see what the chayla needs, and then he can be mispalel with true kavana, with true thoughts for the chayla. That's one answer which the Mefarshim say. I want to say another answer with the insight from Reb Chaskel Levenstein. Reb Chaskel Levenstein says that obviously every person has a yetzer tov and yetzer hara, and the neti of a person generally is to go more towards the ra side, more towards the bad side. And as we know, it says in the Torah, a person has to be careful from saying, koichi va'oitzem yodi, osa liyesa chaylaze. A person has to remember that whatever he succeeds in life doing, whatever his successes are, extremely successful, whatever success he has, all come from Hashem. But a person has it difficult. And every success a person has, a person is noted to say, a person will say, as it says in Parshas Ekev, you'll say to your hearts, whatever you do, whatever you succeed in, you're always going to think it's from yourself, it's from your own success. You're never going to say it's coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And a person has to work his whole life. His whole life, a person has to work and see that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam and not through his own success. And even the biggest tzaddikim, says Reb Chaskel, the biggest tzaddikim have worked on it, they've got to constantly keep on working on it, making sure that they don't they don't depend on themselves, rather they realize that everything comes from Hashem. Now when a person davens for Yeshua, or for success, or whatever it might be, and he eventually sees the success, very often it's difficult for a person to realize that the success comes from his tefillah. And often a person will think to himself, I davened, yeah? Okay, but look, I succeeded. So often there'll be a certain amount of feeling that the success did not come through his tefillah, or rather the success came through his own actions, through his own ishtadlus. That's where he saw that slocha came from. they say the moshal of the person's got an important meeting in town, and he knows he has to be there by a certain time, otherwise he's missed the meeting and he can lose a lot of money. And he's driving around, he gets stuck in a few red lights, and then he can't find the parking spot. And he's going, you know, his mamash got a few minutes left, and he's in a desperate situation. He starts, you know, praying to God, please God, find me a parking space, I'm desperate, right? And begging and begging God to find him a parking space. He's literally got 2 minutes left. And so just in front of him, a car pulls out of a parking spot, and he zooms into that parking spot, and he shouts out, God, it's okay, I found a parking spot, I don't need you anymore. Right, so often a person, and we're all like that to a certain extent, we daven, but then when the success happens, we think that the success is random, for our own actions, whatever it might be, we just forget that it's come from the tefillah, which we just made.
Ego,
that's it. So that even the soldiers who went to Milchemes Mitzvah, Milchemes Midyan was a Milchemes Mitzvah, the biggest tzaddikim, it says in Midrashim, even such people, it could be that they would be tailor the victory on their own fighting capabilities, on their own battle, not on the tefillah which people are making. And therefore, Moshe said that the mispalelim, those who are going to daven, should stand on the battlefront. And the people who are fighting can see the people being mispalel. They can see the tefillahs coming, they can see the tefillahs, and they can see the success. They've got to be tailored, the two things together. They won't be tailored, their victory and their nitzochon, on their own koichas. That's why also by Milchemes Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu was also on the battlefield. He said he stood on a high place, stuck, whenever his hands were up, whenever he was mispalel to Hashem, then they had the victory. But as soon as his hands went down, even though he was mispalel a few minutes earlier, even though his tefillah, why? Because he put his hands down and he stopped thinking for a few minutes, why should the milchama go the other way suddenly? Hashem was teaching them that no, the whole time in mispalel, the tefillah comes from the hatzlocha comes with the tefillah. And that as soon as he stopped davening, they could see that the hatzlocha was no more there. That's a importance of realizing that whatever tefillah we make and the success we see afterwards, we've got to connect the success to the tefillah, even though we can't obviously see the success coming from there. And a friend of mine had the bar mitzvah a few months ago, told me his the night before his son's bar mitzvah, his son had a very bad sore throat, sounds a bit like me, and he was totally hoarse, and he, you know, spent a lot of money and put a lot of keichas into his son for his leaning. It was a big shul. He didn't know what to do. The night before Friday night, his son went to bed, vamish horse, he could barely talk, and he's got a lane in a big shul. And my friend went to bed, he couldn't sleep all night, didn't know what to do, you know, he can't get a doctor, he can't. And he said he davened to Hashem, you know, lying in bed, davening to Hashem, promising money to Kupata'e, and you know, all different segulas one does. And the next morning, got up, and his son still sounds quite hoarse. And they went to shul, and his son went up there to the bima, and he leaned as if nothing had happened. Nothing had happened. He leaned normally, beautiful leaning. And imamish, as they say, he made his father proud. And he told me he totally forgot that he'd davened. After the leaning, he's getting all the shkeach and all the compliments on his son's leaning. He totally forgot about his tefillah. He just thought, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, he was fine. Nothing happened. He totally forgot about the tefillahs and the kabbalahs and everything else which he made. Because that's the natiya of a person. The way a person thinks is, even though he davens, he sees success in the end. It's nothing to do with the tefillah. That's what we've got to work on. And that's what we learn from the people who went to battle. Those also went to daven right on the side so that they could see that the hatzlocha came through the tefillahs and not just their own powers and their own victories. So each person should have the person who can see davening for him. Each person can see he's got someone davening for him. He can see the hatzlocha from that one. After the milchama, the people, they took a lot of kalim from the Midyanim. They took a lot of their stuff, and they brought it to Moshe. Moshe told them they've got to do hagolas kalim. They've got to clean the vessels. They've got to kasher the vessels. They can't just use them as they are. And they've got the parasha of hagolas kalim. After that, it says a group of the soldiers came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say they want to bring an offering to Hashem. Banakrives korban Hashem. They want to bring an offering to Hashem for winning this battle against the Midyanim. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked them exactly what was the reason they want to bring the gifts. And they said, because even though they didn't do any Averis, with the Midianite ladies, but still, they had Hira Avera, they had thoughts of Avera, when they had the battle and they saw the ladies from Midian, We still had Hira Aveira, and therefore we want to bring a korban, a gift to Hashem, for a kapora, for the Hira Aveira. The question is, why does the Torah first put the parash of Agolas Kelim there, and then only afterwards, why did they bring their korban? Why didn't they bring their korban straight after the battle, as soon as they saw that they had their Hira Aveira, and then Moshe should tell them the halachas of Agolas Kelim? Why does Agolas Kelim come in between? The Kedusha Rim says a beautiful pshat, that they learned to bring their korban from the parash of Agolas Kelim. Because when Moshe told them the parash of Agolas Kelim, he was mechadash them, he told them something they didn't know before. And that is, until then they thought, you're not allowed to eat treif, not allowed to eat a piece of chazah, a piece of treif meat, but blias of treif, they thought there's no problem there, you can't see it. The blias are the taste of the food which goes into the pot, which goes into the side of the pot, which gets stuck in the walls of the pot, can't be seen, can't be felt. It's just taste which comes out into your food. They thought that sort of, that the blias will not be forbidden. Only the actual food, the actual shape of food is forbidden. But the blias, what could be wrong with the blias? They're not seen, they're not felt. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was mechadish to them. He told them that no, even blias are osa. Even the tam, ke'eka, that just the taste of the isa, that's also osa. And when they heard that from Moshe Rabbeinu, then they realized that hirhure aveira, that's like the tam ke'ika, that's like the blias, that's like the taste. It's just the taste of the aveira, it's not the actual aveira. They realized that can also be forbidden. And for that as well, we'll need to bring a kapora for having the hirhure aveira. So they saw from the parish of Agolas Kelim, they saw from the fact that they have to get rid of the blias, of the taste, they realized that hirhurim, the thoughts of the aveira, are also us, and therefore they brought up the korban, the korban as a kapara. And this we can answer. The Ramban asks the kasha: why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu only told them about Hagolas Kelim after Milchemes Midyan? In Parshas Chukas Balak, they had Milchemes against Sichon and Og, and there Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mistoma, they also got hold of all the Kelim. Why there did Moshe Rabbeinu not tell them about the Hagolas Kelim there, that they have to kasher the Kelim? And with this we can answer that perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu thought that they knew they have to kasher the Kelim. He thought they knew that they have to know that Tam Ke'ika, and they know that the taste of the Issa is also forbidden. Because by Milchemes Sichon and Og, it says they killed everyone. They killed the ladies, they killed the children, everyone was captured and killed. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that there's no Hirhuri Aveira as well. There's no, they realize that Hirhuri Aveira is also a problem, that's why they killed the ladies. And therefore, they know that Tam Ke'ika, they know there's a problem of eating the blias as well. By Milchemes Midyan, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu became angry with them because they left the ladies alive. They didn't kill the ladies. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw they didn't kill the ladies, he realized, oh, they didn't kill the ladies, then they must not realize Hirhuri Aveira is also Asa. That the thoughts of the Aveira are also Asa. And therefore he quickly told them the parasha of Hagolas Kelim, because now he realized that they didn't know the halachas of Hagolah, because they didn't realize that the thoughts of the Aveira are also wrong. And Midah Tova Merubah, we see from here how bad Hirhuri Aveira are, Kal Vachomer, and how much more so. Thinking of good things about other people, having good intentions, having good relationships, whatever it might be, good thoughts, Alachas Kam Vakama, how much Hashem should reward us for our good thoughts in life. After when Klal Yisrael were coming to Eretz Yisrael, we've got the famous parasha of B'nai God of Nei Reuven, how they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they want to stay in Eveh Hayard, and they want to stay on the other side of the Jordan, and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Gidrei Soin Nivne LeMikunenu, we want to build, we're going to make, after Moshe Rabbeinu tells them they're going to have to go to battle, so they say, Gidrei Soin Nivne LeMikunenu Poi, we're going to build pens for our flock over here, Va'orim LeTapenu, and cities for our children. And we all know that Moshe Rabbeinu was upset with them, and he said to them that you've got things the wrong way around. As the Medrash says, they made the tofel ke'ika, the thing which was unimportant, they made the most important, and the ikka ke'tofel, they made the important things the least important, because they were makdim. They said first that they're going to make pens for the animals, and afterwards they said they're going to worry about their families. Orim letapenu, we're going to make buildings for our cities, for our children. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's the wrong way around. You've got to think about your family before you think about your money, before you think about your animals, you've got to think about your family. And he told them that the first of all, you've got to do Benu lochem, orim letapchem, build cities for your children. That's first. Ika, the gederes letzenachem, and then you can make your pens for your fences, for your animals, for your sheep. Vayetzim epichem tas, then you can go to battle. So Moshe Rabbeinu put them in their place, and he told them they've got to make the important thing, the first. That's the most important thing. And the Medrash also brings, Rashi doesn't bring down, but the Medrash brings the pasuk here about Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. Leiv chacham liminoi. Leif Chacham is Moshe Rabbeinu, Chacham Limino, he goes to the right. Veleif Kesil Lismoyle, and the heart of a Kesil, so a fool, is Lismoyle, he goes to the left, the unimportant things. So the Medrash compares Bnei God of Bnei Reuven to a Kesil, to a fool, and Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a Chacham, he goes Limino. The question is, how can we understand such a thing? That the Shvatim, the people of the Dori Deah, they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Chaim Kulchem Ayoyim, how could they reach such a low level? That they're going to be makdim, that they think of the animals more than their children and their families. How can that be? How can they reach such a low level? I mean, I saw a survey nowadays, they say that 38% of Americans love their pets more than their family. Right? But the Shiftei Kol, how can we say such a thing about the Shiftei Kol, that they were makdim their animals, their money, such tzaddikim? How can they put that first? And the Bei Yosef brings a...
Eating anyway, to get animals to eat, and prepare
give
yourself to eat.
So, you find a deep study with animals. Right. Yeah, that's because maybe you don't have the schus to. Maybe you only got the schus of the animals, I think. So, the Be'er Yosef Rios Salant, he explains a beautiful pshat. After the Melchames, Sichoim Ve'oik, in Parashas Chukas, it says Hashem made a tremendous miracle for Klal Yisrael. It says, "Vayetzelik Klal Yisrael Hamidbar." The enemy came to meet Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Normally, an enemy is coming to attack another. A country is coming to attack another country. They have to go into the other country and attack the other country. The other country doesn't come out to them to greet them. But here, Hashem made the miracle. Rashi brings down that why should all my children, Mani Matriach Al Bonai, why do I have to trouble my children to go into every single city and start creating siege on the city? Let them come out to my children, and they'll fight outside, kill them all off outside, and then go into the cities are all prepared for them, houses full of whatever they need, and they can take over the cities without any problem, without any issues. And that's what happened. All the nations came out to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael wiped them all out, and then they were able to go into the cities, take the wives, the children, get rid of them, take them captive, and the houses and everything was set up, mamish, perfect, nothing needed doing, the houses were, and everything was ready for Klal Yisrael, a fully functioning city, ready to be moved in for the Jewish people. Now, if that's the case, then when Klal Yisrael come into this city, they don't have to do anything for the families, got houses prepared, everything's perfect, some are Yidden, they have to take out a few chimneys, maybe a few loft extensions, a few other, you know, bits and bobs, but otherwise, perfect, they can just move into the house and go into the houses as they are. The fridges are full of food, freezers full of food, cupboards full of food, toys, whatever you need, furniture, everything's there for Klal Yisrael. A bit of a Haimish Esser, maybe not, but everything's there for the Jewish people when they go into the houses. But when Bnei God of Bnei Reuven, since they had so many animals, they realize that the children, the families are all sorted out, they've got these cities perfect, but the animals, they've got so many animals which the Goyim didn't have, they're going to have to make places for the animals. So that's why they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu that the houses are perfect, we've got everything we need, we just need places for animals, we're going to build places for animals, and for our children, a few extensions, a few little, you know, additions, but otherwise our children are fine, we don't have to do anything for our children. That's what they said to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe still had to point out to them that they made a big mistake, because they were going into Goyish houses. These houses, even though they're ready to live in, but they're not ready to live in by a Yiddish family. A Jewish family can't move into these houses. It says the Goyim, they used to call their houses after Avodah Zorah. The names of the houses are Avodah Zorah. The house probably full of Avodah Zorah. And the hashpois, which are in the houses, everything was Avodah Zorah. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, you've got to gut the place. You've got to take down these houses, and you've got to start again. Rebuild, make new properties, make them totally rain, totally clean from the avodah zarah which the goyim have put there. And if you're just thinking about your animals and your money, that's why you've thought like that. But if you think about your family first, if you're totally involved in the ruchnius of your families, then you'll have remembered that no, you can't just move into these houses as they are. You've got to take the houses to part, make sure all the avodah zarahs, all the shame avodah zarah, all the ashpoas of the avodah zarah are gone. Gut the properties, as they say, and then you can move into these properties, and that will be good for your children's future, for your children's ruchnius. That's the lesson which Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them. And then they agreed to Moshe, and they said, no, we're going to do it the way you said. We're going to, as the Pasuk says, they agreed, and they said, we're going to build Orim Letapenu, and then they said they're going to build the places for the animals. So whenever we make life decisions, in big decisions or small decisions, we've always got to remember to take the ruchnius first, to think the ruchnius side, whether it's moving house, moving to a different city, a different street, who the neighbours, what's the ruchnius like, what's the ruchnius sticker side, the aspect of this place, before taking in the physical aspects, the ruchnius always should come first. I just saw a nice story in the book of Rabbi Orlovsky. Sorry if some of you have read it. He says he was the one who publicized this story, so he gets the credit. He says a story about Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, the CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, came to visit Rav Nosson Zvi, and obviously he's a very wealthy man, one of the 100 rich, I don't know where he's holding on the list, a Jewish man, but not from. And he sat with Nosson Zvi and spoke to him for a few minutes. And after the meeting, Howard said to Nosson Zvi, I want to give you a check for the yeshiva. I want you to write in the figure. So he signed a check. Howard Schultz signed the check. He gave Nosson Zvi the check. You write in the figure whatever you want. Right, there's no shortage in my bank account. You can write in whichever figure you want. Now, the time of this visit, the budget of Yeshiva Smir was $2 million a month. Okay, so you could write a year's budget, whatever you want. So Rav Nosson Zvi said to Howard Schultz, can I give the check back to you? Why? He said, right, I'm writing on the check $1,200. I want you to take the check, go across the street. There's a fellow there who sells tefillin. Buy yourself a pair of tefillin and make sure to put it on every single day. So Rav Nosson Zvi said, right, he could have made millions for the mayor. Could have, you know, stopped having to travel around in much pain to collect money for the mayor. But no, Rav Nosson Zvi thought about this fellow putting on tefillin. That was his priority in life. Not by himself, he's thinking about others. But so we've always got to make sure our priorities are right, thinking about others, thinking about ruchnius, not always thinking about gashmius. That was the lesson which Moshe was teaching the B'nai God of B'nai Reuven. In Parashas Matzeh, we have the parasha of the person who kills B'Shoigeg, the Ritzach B'Shoigeg, and he has to go to Ori Miklot, and he stays in Ori Miklot until Misas Kohen Gadol, until the death of the Kohen Gadol. And the Pasuk says he should stay in Ori Miklot at Moisa Kohen Gadol, till the death of the Kohen Gadol, Asher Moshach Oisei B'Shem HaKodesh, who he anointed with B'Shem HaKodesh. So Rashi already straight away asks that it doesn't really fit in. The Lashon HaPasuk, he anointed him B'Shem HaKodesh, the Ritzach didn't anoint the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was anointed by someone else, not the Ritzach. So Rashi says one pshat is it's a mikra kotze, it should say Asher Moshach, the person who anointed him with Shem and Akedesh, but not, obviously not the Ritzach. Rashi brings another pshat from the Gemara Makkos that's coming to teach us that if the Kohen Gadol died after the Ritzicha, before the murder, the Kohen Gadol died, and then they were Mamana another Kohen Gadol before the Gemar Din, before they gave him the verdict, then he has to wait until the second Kohen Gadol dies, because he was there at the time of his verdict, of his court case. That's what Rashi says. The Meshech Chochma says another explanation, very important in the Sodian life, Hashkocha Protis. He says that really it's going on the murderer. The murderer was the one who was Moshach the Kohen Gadol. How was the murderer Moshach the Kohen Gadol? How did the murderer anoint the Kohen Gadol? And says the Meshech Chochma that a person kills by mistake, there's no fixed amount to how much punishment he's going to get. Person who kills B'mezid, person who kills on purpose, or does another, he gets a penalty. It's a fixed penalty which Bezdin give him. skila, sreva, hereg, chenek, or malchus, whatever it is, it's fixed. Whereas if it comes to golus, there's no fixed amount. Why is there no fixed amount? Says the Mashal Chochma, because it depends on his how much of a mistake he was, how much of a shogeg he was. It could be he could have been a bit more careful, and it could have been a lot more careful. We don't know how much of a shogeg the person who killed the shogeg was actually, and therefore we can't decide. Bezin can't decide how long he should go to Golos. Only Hashem can decide how long he should go to Golos. Therefore, Hashem says, the Torah says, he's going to go to Golos at Moisa Kohen Gadol until the death of the Kohen Gadol. That's going to be the deciding factor. Now, why should it be dependent on the Kohen Gadol? So Hashem will decide, according to the amount of shogeg that he was, that's who Hashem will put the Kohen Gadol to be there in the place. The Kohen Gadol, it could be 10 years earlier, when it was time to man another Kohen Gadol, Hashem decided there's going to be a Ritziach, there's going to be a murder of a shogeg in 10 years' time, and he's going to have to be in Golos for 5 years, because his kapara is going to be 5 years. So Hashem says we're going to put a Kohen Gadol who's going to live another 5 years after the Ritziach, the shogeg, goes to Golos. Or it could be he was a terrible shogeg and he really should have been much more careful, and he needs to go to Golos for 30 years. So Hashem decided a few years earlier, I'm going to put a Kohen Gadol there. He's going to be a Kohen Gadol for another 30 years after he kills, in order that he should have his kapara of 30 years. So the deciding factor of the Kohen Gadol is the Ritziach, the shogeg. He's going to be the one who decides, because of his action of killing the shogeg, he's going to be the one who decides how long the Kohen Gadol, and which Kohen Gadol should be the Kohen Gadol at the time of his Ritzicha. And therefore it says in the Pasuk, says the Meshach Chochma, Asher Moshe Achayis B'Shem Lakodesh, the murderer, he's the one who anointed, he's the one who decided, in inverted commas, who the Kohen Gadol is going to be. Because he's the one who needs a kapara, and he's the one who Hashem is going to appoint the Kohen Gadol in his merit. So we see from there tremendous hashkacha protis, as the Meshach Chochma, how Hashem runs the world, how Hashem appoints a Kohen Gadol, could be years before someone kills B'Shegeg even. But Hashem appoints a Kohen Gadol, that Kohen Gadol should be there, in order that the Ritziach B'Shegeg should get his full amount of kapara, no less and no more. That's the tremendous hashkacha process which the Torah is teaching us. And just finish off with a couple of stories about hashkacha process. One story I saw in the book of Rabbi Wickler, Zeriat Stokes. He says about there was a boy in America from a frum family who was, as they say nowadays, football crazy. Football crazy. He loved football. He played it all his spare time, and he wanted to train. And one summer, he told his parents, I'm going to a football camp this year. Now, there's no such thing as a Jewish football camp. And there was only one in his, there was a football camp in his area, but it was a Goisha camp. And he was, without budging, he was stubborn, he's going to football camp this year. And he pushed his parents, and he bent their arms, and his parents were, you know, begging him, you can't go to a Goisha camp, even though you want to play football. But he said he loves football, he wants to go into the league, this league and that league. He's going to football camp this year, and he wouldn't budge, his parents, and all his parents, but you know, it became very tense, the situation at home was very tense. And one day his father was just flipping through one of the Hamish advertisers or newspapers, wherever it was, and he saw an advert about a summer camp, a Jewish summer camp, and it said in the advert, learning, football. And he thought, wow, maybe you can go to, maybe it's not on the same level as the Goisha one, but learning football, what could, a Jewish camp, and they're going to learn football there, he'll have his training there, maybe he'll go. And he showed it to his son, and his son realized that, his parents aren't going to budge anyway, and this is his only chance. So he agreed to go to this, he'll try out this summer camp, this frum place where, they've got their learning football. And he went to this, packed up his stuff, went to this camp, didn't know anyone there, and he arrived at camp, and there was a bunch of yeshiva bochrim, or future yeshiva bochrim, and he unpacked his stuff, spent a few hours unpacking his stuff, and then everyone went into the base of Medrash, Dava Mincha, and then after Mincha, there was a long Seder, went on for a few hours, and there was a Shir, and the boys were enjoying it, and he's sitting there, maybe I should pack my bags, and having second thoughts, he doesn't really enjoy learning. And at the end of the day, after supper, the boys go outside, they play football for a few minutes, talachayat, running around, pick teams on the spot, play football, no trainer, no coach or anything. And after a few minutes, they go back inside, they finish the game, and they go a bit more learning, and then another shir, they go to bed, and the next morning, same thing, it's shiurim and this shir, learning, a bit of an outing. At the end of the day, a few boys get together, they have a little football match, and he's getting really fed up, and he's really thinking of leaving this camp. After a few more days, he's actually starting to enjoy the learning. He's never had such a geschmack in learning in his life. It's difficult in school, but I say it's more relaxed. And he's really enjoying the learning. And after a few weeks in camp, his perspective is totally changed. And he's so much more positive to go to yeshiva and to learn. And obviously enjoys football, but he just wants to carry on in his learning. And his parents were quite surprised, because it said on the advert, learning football. And they inquired about it. And they found out that the person who put the advert in made a small mistake. And he was supposed to write learning, and then another poem was supposed to be football. But by mistake, he put the two together. He put the learning football in one line, where it's supposed to be two separate things. And because of that, this boy, who knows where they've ended up to, who knows where they've, ended up, had he gone to this Goisha football camp with a top football coach, who knows where they've gone to. But because they made that small mistake, maybe the person who made the mistake might have got in trouble, he might have lost his job, who knows what. But because of that small mistake, they saved this boy and he ended up going to yeshiva. So you see them there, tremendous hashkacha pratis in every single action we do, even when things are difficult or not as we want. But no, everything's got hashkacha pratis, Hashem runs the world. And that's a lesson which the Torah teaches us by the Kohen Gadol. Each Kohen Gadol is appointed according to the amount of years that the Ritzach B'Shogig is going to need in Golos. And it could be many years before. Bezat Hashem, we should continue saying lots of Hashkocha Protis, and all our tefillos should be answered. We should zecha to Binyan Beis Hamikdash B'Nevi Amin. Amen.